Research shows us that when people are hungry, we are typically not at our best. We find it much more difficult to concentrate. We lose patience more easily. I think there was a famous study done with Israeli judges, and that they were convicting everybody in the last hour before lunch hour, and like acquitting everybody at, like, right after breakfast or the first hour after lunch hour. It's just the way we are. When we're hungry, we're just not at our best. We're more irritable. And there's even a word for that that's been invented in recent in recent years, when a person is in a certain kind of mood because they're hungry, right? What's that word?
Hangry.
Everyone knows it, right? So Jewish people of all backgrounds, of all levels, there's one thing that they universally recognize, and that is that Yom Kippur is the most important day of the year. I was talking to a Talmud of mine who told me he started a new job. He's working on some top secret government project or whatever. He's one of these smart computer guys. And he said that there are 4,000 people in the complex where he works. He thinks there are 4 Jews there. And he said that his boss never heard of Rosh Hashanah. Never heard of Rosh Hashanah. But Yom Kippur, his boss heard of. Yom Kippur, he knew all about. So Yom Kippur is something that everybody knows about. Everybody seems to take it seriously. Even people who observe very little will often fast on Yom Kippur. All right, maybe a Listerine strip here and there, but they'll fast on Yom Kippur. It's obviously a very, very chomer to fast. Only chaloshiyosh b'sakana. A lot of people don't realize this, particularly doctors who like to give piskei halacha, which has become an increasing problem, think that, just do shiurim, that's no problem, that must be kind of mutter. No, you're only allowed to eat pachas mikshir if you're a chaloshiyosh b'sakana. It's just machilin oso akala kal tchila. Meaning, it has to be dangerous enough that a person would die from fasting in order to not fast. Now, obviously, svek svekov, sakana is also enough, and even if it's a sakana that you're going to die one day earlier in 5 years from now, that's also called sakana. Okay, we have all of those, we have to put it in context, but it's pretty serious. It's pretty serious. So you would think that, considering the amount of concentration necessary to focus on such long tefillos and to pray for our lives, that Kodesh Baruch Hu would not have us food deprived and dehydrated when we really need to be at our very best. I mean, how could we be at our very best when we're hangry and dehydrated? Not only that, the entire concept of inuyim seems to run counter to the medrash that we very proudly tout on Rosh Hashanah, about how our great confidence allows us to enter the Yom Hadin, where we're bathed and we're well-groomed and we're well-dressed, and on Yom Kippur, no bathing, no anointing, no shoes, we're wearing, come out wearing shrouds, right? Literally, we're wearing our kittels, which is what we're going to be buried in. Where did all that confidence from just like a week and a half earlier, where did all that go? Also, the Arizal famously comments that Yom Kippur is related to Purim. Yom Kippurim. Now, there are a million varts about the oddity of that comparison. Why are there a million varts? Because it defies simple explanation. Meaning there are no 2 days in the real world. It seems very odd to compare the very somber and serious nature of Yom Kippur to the very whimsical and lighthearted nature of Purim. And a final question. The Kabbalah associates Yom Kippur with Purim, but the Chumash associates Yom Kippur with a different day, a different special day. And that, of course, is Shabbos. Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabbason, a form of a super Shabbos. It's like a more Shabbos than Shabbos is. So what makes Yom Kippur more of a Shabbos than Shabbos actually is? So again, 3 questions. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have us hangry and dehydrated when we need to be at our very best, and especially considering all the other inuyim really seems to take us down several notches from where we were on Rosh Hashanah? Question number 2, what's this connection to Purim between Yom Kippur and Purim? Question number 3, what's the connection exactly between Yom Kippur and Shabbos? So Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein has a wonderful book, wonderful sefer called Tshuva. And he has a number of short essays on Tshuva. And he just came out with a book on Sukkot also. Very nice stuff. He has a beautiful, if you're going to be a shul rabbi, you need to darshan, or just even if you need a Dvar Torah around the table, it's a very, very good, he always has very nice insights. So he has a beautiful insight into the mood that's generated on Yom Kippur. And it's based on one of the most basic halachas of the day, right? The isser to eat and drink. Normally, when we're not allowed to eat or drink something, the shir is a kezayis and a revius. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, that's not the shir. The shir is a kosevis hagasa. the amount of a date for eating, and a melalugma of a cheekful for drinking, right? If someone has to have pachs pachs mikshir, Rabbanim will often tell them, measure your own melalugma in advance, so you'll know how much to drink, or how little to drink at a time. Right, so the Gemara in Yuma Tafayin Tes explains why that anomaly. Every other Yisrachil in the Torah is a Kazayis, it's a Revias, and now all of a sudden we have Melalugma of Kosevis Hagasa. So the Gemara explains that unlike other Isurei Achila, which are completely dependent on the halachic definition of Achila, on Yom Kippur it's really about something else entirely. It's about Yisuvei Daitei Shel Adam, settling a person's mind. And that, says Rabbi Bernstein, is the key. Apparently, the goal of Yom Kippur is to avoid Yishav Hadas. Or as the Torah calls it, the goal is to achieve Inui. Inui takes away a sense of comfort, of relaxation, of Yishav Hadas. It means that Yom Kippur is supposed to be a day that agitates you a little bit. It's supposed to be a day that shakes you a little bit. So what's the purpose of that agitation? So Rav Bernstein suggests that the goal is to take us out of our normal habits and patterns. It's very difficult to really self-assess and to make the necessary changes when you're just going about business as usual. When we upset our equilibrium a little bit, we have to recalibrate how we operate, we avoid the normal habits of the day in, day out, that gives us an opportunity to really do tshuva. When we're agitated, we just remove our complacency because we're not in our normal, we're out of sorts. We lack the patience and the will to present our best selves or the facade that we normally put forward to everybody, for everybody else to see, and we just have to be more real in that moment. You know, I was in England a couple of weeks ago and I heard a shiur from one of the Dayanim in London Bays, and Dayan Zobin. And one of the things he said that really struck me, he said that there was a guy that came to him, a guy in his shul, he's the Rav of a shul, the Yisrael shul in Hendon. He said a guy came to him and asked him the following shaila, whatever the details were. The guy could stand to gain a lot in business and or avoid a major loss in business, but it would require him speaking Lashon Hara about a competitor who, by the way, had already spoken Lashon Hara about him. I've gotten a similar shaila in the past, where someone, you know, two people were in a business together, they split, so one of them immediately starts thinking Lashon Hara about this guy, so can I, you know, do a bad, otherwise they're going to think I'm the bad one and he's the good one, and now, you know, just to sort of even the playing field. And this person asked, can I speak Lashon Hara about this other party? It's going to make a huge difference in my business. I'll be derech hateva, at least it would make a huge difference in my business. So Dayan Zobin said, he paused for a moment and he thought about the fellow that was asking this question. He said, this fellow comes to shul, you know, to the 8:45 minyan, religiously at 9:30 every Shabbos morning. He stands in the back with his friends, speaking Lashon Hara from the moment he walks in until the moment he leaves. And then he only leaves to speak Lashon Hara about how terrible the Shliach Tzibur was and how long the rabbi spoke for. And like his whole day is Lashon Hara. And yet, here he stands to lose all this money and he asks a shaila, am I allowed to speak Lashon Hara? So he said, what's pshat? How do you, what's the psychology of a person like that? So he said, because when he comes to shul and he hangs out, that's just what he does. That's just his routine. That's how he behaves. That's his haluch yelech of life, his yom of life. That's what he does. But a shaila came up, something new, something different, a situation, and he has the opportunity to say, well, wait a second, I'm actually going to be thoughtful about something. Instead of just going along, that sometimes that's all that's needed. And meaningful tshuva requires introspection. Introspection often requires a change of the status quo and taking us out of our routine. So Yom Kippur is really essentially one giant disruption. And that explains the connection to Purim. The goal is accomplished in very different ways, but both Purim and Yom Kippur take us out of our routines and allow our true selves to come out a little bit more. Some feel that on Purim, they're dressing like something that they're not. And Yom Kippur, we're also presenting ourselves as something that we're not, like we're angels or something like that. It doesn't really depict the way we live our lives. But the truth is that we're better able to present our true selves on both Purim and Yom Kippur in different ways. On Purim, Nichnas Yayin Yatza Sod, a person appreciates his friends and he loves his wife and his children. A little bit of wine in him and he's professing his love to everybody around. And normally it's not so, it's not the yeshivish thing to do to tell your friends how much you love them. But on Purim, you know, that's it. Everything. What's really the etiquette that doesn't allow him to normally express himself is not getting in the way right now. And on Yom Kippur, the ability to cry and shout during davening and during our conversations with Hashem in a very public way, which would normally be a breach of etiquette. Who does that? But on Yom Kippur, everybody does that, because that's what you do. On Yom Kippur, it allows us to break the norm. Shabbos is similar. It's a time of menucha. Yom Kippur is a time of inui, but in both cases, it's a disruption to our regular lives. There's a break from the norm, and that gives us an opportunity to see the world differently than we normally do. So Shabbos is a disruption of our routines that ultimately becomes part of our routine, because it happens every week. So Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabbason. It's the ultimate disruption, right? It's not just a change in diet once a week and a change in rest patterns once a week. It's a once a year real huge change. It's a Shabbos Shabbason. So it's true that Yom Kippur may be hungry or even hangry, but we're able to let our guard down. We experience the opposite of Yisuvei Daita. We experience Inui. And those maybe who aren't as intense in their tefillah year-round can get very comfortable getting very intense. And those who are normally intense can find an extra gear. Meaning, even if you normally daven a 34-minute mincha, you know, in Gluck, you know, you still might be able to find an extra gear when it comes to Yom Kippur. I think it's a helpful way to think about the process of tshuva in general. You know, of finding our space where we can really actually think about things and just break us out of our regular routines. And obviously, the goal is to turn things that were not routine for us into routines for the good, right? Meaning to make certain things that we just didn't do in the past become routine mitzvahs that we get involved in until we break ourselves out of our routines again at some future point, and then again, you know, the future Yom Kippur, and then again move the needle over in terms of where our routines are going to be. I wish everyone a Gemar Chasima Tova and a wonderful Yom Kippur.